2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 11. Let's all stand together and we'll read the Bible. Follow along silently as I read aloud. O ye Corinthians, our mouth is open unto you. Our heart is enlarged. Ye are not straitened in us, but ye are straitened in your own bowels. Now for a recompense in the same, I speak as unto my children, be ye also enlarged. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness, and what concord hath Christ with Belial, or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel, and what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their people, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. We'll get to that in just a minute, but understand this, let us cleanse ourselves. This is the responsibility of every individual Christian, that you take custodial care of yourself in this matter of holy living. And so let's pray together, and we'll seek to continue to answer this question: what does it mean to be holy? Heavenly Father, I would pray, dear Lord, that you would bless this Bible study / Bible sermon, Lord, this morning, as we continue to ask you to do something in our hearts and lives. And Lord, as we gather here in a holy place on a holy day, and we open a holy book before a holy God, Lord, I pray that you would teach us how to be a holy people. Bless each and every one. If there's anyone here without Jesus Christ as their Savior, may they understand that the first step is to be saved. No man can be holy before God without having been born again. And so we pray, Lord, that you would use this. And then help those of us that are saved, dear God. We've committed ourselves together as a church in this month to seek your face, to stand before a holy God, to allow you to do some examination. Lord, may we come with our hearts enlarged, our hearts opened, Lord, and listening and hearing you, we pray. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. And you may be seated. What does it mean to be holy? I want to read 1 Peter 1. You don't have to turn there. We opened up the sermon last week reading 1 Peter 1:13. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourself according to the former lust in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. He's writing to Christians. He's challenging us to be obedient children. We're not to fashion our lives according to the former lust in our ignorance, which means we're not to live the way we lived before we received Christ as our Savior. Jesus Christ, when he saves a man, transforms them. Wherefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. And so Christ saved us from our sin, and he wants to now help us save us out of our sin. And every day of our life, we should be on a journey that brings us closer and closer to a holy life and more separated unto God, and less resembling what we once were and more resembling the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so what does it mean to be holy? We're going to answer that today. Let me review what we covered last week. We said, number one, to be holy, we must open our hearts. He challenged the church there in Corinth. He said, ask them, listen, I speak as unto my children. Paul said, I'm telling you this because I love you. I'm not your enemy. I'm your friend. When a preacher begins to preach against sin, sometimes the devil sits on a Christian's shoulder and says, that person doesn't love you, that preacher doesn't love you. No, I'm going to tell you something, that's a lie of the devil. Let me tell you the preacher that doesn't love his people. The preacher that doesn't love his people is the one who will not preach against sin and the consequences of sin. And so he said, listen, what I'm asking you to do is enlarge your heart. This letter is written to a church that was carnal. They were a mess. Sin was in their life, and yet I guarantee you, if you attended the church at this time, they probably gathered together and had worship, and everybody looked around and probably felt they were pretty good. And Satan is the great deceiver. And he said, listen, I want you to open your heart. He said, I want you to open your heart to the idea that this message might be for you. It's easy to listen to preaching, hard preaching sometimes, and sit there and shake our head and say, well, I'm glad so-and-so's here. And boy, I'm glad sister so-and-so's here. And brother so-and-so needed to hear that. And praise God, I'll take that and throw that back over my shoulder to those group of teenagers. Say, wait a minute. What about you? It's me. It's me. It's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. And so every one of us need to stop worrying about gauging the holiness of those around us and begin to stand ourselves before a holy God and say, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, know my thought. See if there be any wicked way in me, not in everybody else. So he encourages them to enlarge their hearts. And then he begins to challenge them. It's a matter of breaking unequal yokes. Now, this is where I'm going to do a little review, but let's read it first together. Verse 14, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Remember, he's preaching, he's teaching, he's writing to Christians. So he says it's possible for Christians to have gotten in a yoke, to gotten into a partnership, to be linked together, bonded together, bound together with things that they ought not be a part of. Now last week, and if you'll just exercise some patience with me here, last week I was on the board back here. We put some things up, and we're going to put them back up again today, all right? So that you can see clearly what the Lord's talking about here. Now, we'll read it together, and then we're going to put some things back on the wall. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? What agreement hath the temple of God with idols? Now listen, these aren't just a list of things that have no meaning. They're written out very specifically. They're identifying very specific things. What God is doing is allowing a standard to be set here. A measuring stick, if you will. He says, listen, there's righteousness and there's unrighteousness. He goes on to say, you know what? There's light and then there's darkness. There's Christ and there's Belial, which means the devil or the worship of those false things that the devil wants to bring before us. He said, there's the believer and there's the infidel. He said, there's the temple of God and there's idols. And he said, what in the world, what association, what fellowship, what common ground could these things possibly share? And what he's doing is he's trying to, for the sake of the Corinth people, he's trying to get them to understand, listen, you can't live in no man's land here. You can't say, well, I want to be a believer, but I want to also hold hands with infidels. I want to be part of the light, but I don't want to erase all darkness. I don't want to lose all touch with darkness. There was a church here of people that were living in no man's land, if you will. Brother Reiser, if you'll come up here and help me out in just a second, I'm going to have you, first of all, let me have you sort these for me, will you? Because I forgot to do that. Here's the verses. Here's the sorting. And I'll just sing a special while he's doing that, amen. Now, to be holy, we must break unequal yokes. Now, one of the things that we're going to show you in just a minute is this, as soon as he straightens this mess out that I've created up here, is that there's two distinct sides here. There's a dividing line, and then there's the clear defining of what associations we are and are not to have. We're not to have fellowship. We're not to have communion. We're not to have concord. We're not supposed to have part. We're not supposed to have an agreement. Now, one of the things I want to share with you, and we just touched this real quickly at the end of last week's message, is this. Compromise is a progression, but also holiness is a progression. You see, we're going to show you that compromise happens a step at a time. And all of a sudden, those things that you never thought you'd associate with as a Christian, you find that you've found some agreement with. And so the compromise happens a step at a time. And if you're going to work your way back, get back to a holy lifestyle, you have to reverse the process because I believe that the challenge here is to break the unequal yoke. Have you got them figured out there? You got them all in the right order? I don't know why you didn't do that yesterday. Should have had Brother Chad do it. He wasn't doing anything yesterday, right? Thank Brother Chad, thank Brother Klein, thank Brother Jack Gordon. We had a group of men come over here and took a little window when we had a little bit of a chance and it came out here and painted the bus and did a great job. You ready to go? You got the tape? Here's the tape. I'm going to let you just go ahead and also tape up everything for me. There you go. All right. All right. Let me read the verses and I'm going to have him. I'll have you put one of them on this side at the top and then I'm going to have you move over and do the opposite one on this side over here. This is what I want you to see. And I'm doing this for a very specific reason. Young people, I want you to see this. I want you to understand that there are things that ought to be over here that you ought to be associated with, and there's things over here that you ought to have no association with. The first question that he asks is this. He says, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness? So go ahead and tape righteousness up on that side. Tape it high enough, you'll need room for five underneath it, and then unrighteousness over here. Now, let me go ahead and explain this. The word that you find in the middle of these two, fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, that word fellowship means voluntary interaction. Voluntary interaction. Now, let me help some of you new Christians, or those of you that are trying to grow. And for some of you, this is going to be a wake-up call because it's what's hindering growth and progress in your Christian life, okay? The Bible says that we should not, as children of God, have fellowship with unrighteousness. That means voluntary interaction. Watch this. That means just spending social time together. One of the things you need to understand in the command we find down at the bottom of this portion of Scripture is God saying, wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. Now what we have going on here is we have righteousness, then we have unrighteousness. Why don't you go ahead and put fellowship up there on the middle here. And this fellowship is basically, what it's talking about is voluntary interaction. It means, you know what? I'm not talking about you have to work with people. I know you got to go to the job and you've got to work beside people that are lost. By the way, that's a great opportunity to be a shining light and a witness. But afterwards, when they say, hey, on the way home, we're going to stop and get a burger and a beer on the way, you want to hang out with us. Now that's voluntary. Well, you know what? I won't drink anything. I'll just go hang out with them. I'm not going to do anything wrong. I'm just going to hang out with them. Now, the Bible, the question is here, what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And you know what? Not a one of these are we provided an answer. They're rhetorical questions. We're supposed to know the answer to them. Here's the answer. None! None! People, now don't get this wrong. Don't get me wrong on this. You know what? I talk and speak to unsaved people. I'm kind to unsaved people. I go out and knock on doors and I spend time witnessing to unsaved people. But folks, I don't go hang out with unsaved people. Listen to me. I don't hang out with them. You know who my friends are? God's children. Well, I'm going to influence them. Watch this. The argument is I'm going to pull them up. Now, what you need to do is you need to get two guys that are about the same size. In fact, let's just do this, okay? The two brothers right here, all right? You come here and you come here, all right? One of you come up here and one of you stay down there. We notice he chose righteousness right away, you know. Stand right up there. Stand on top of the altar. Not you. Stand on top of the altar. Now, you turn around and face him. What are you doing? All right, now. All right, you back up a little bit. You don't know what I'm doing here. I want you guys to lock hands like this. All right, now, this guy is going to pull him up. On your mark, get set, go. Pull him up. Pull him up. Okay, now pull him down. I want you both pulling on each other. Oh, that was easy. That was easy. I don't think it's because this guy's Hercules and this guy's, you know, not. I think he's got advantage of gravity. Brother, sin's like gravity. It's hard enough. Come on, those of us are saved. It's just us here. It's hard enough in the best of environments to do right. So you get around those that want you to do wrong and you think, well, I'm going to be a missionary. I'm going to pull them up. And you end up getting pulled down. You guys can be seated. So the question is, what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? None! None! Well, if I went to the public school and decided I wasn't going to have any friends, or if they were lost people, I just wouldn't have any friends. Yes, you would. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. You see, listen, you might as well figure out, those of you that have to have friends, oh, I got to have friends, I got to have friends. I'm nobody. You know what? Forever, you are going to be a slave to some peer group. If you can't learn to stand by yourself, you'll never learn to stand for anything. And you know what? If it's you against the world, then guess what? It's not you against the world, because it's you and Jesus if you're a child of God. So here's the next question. Are you ready for the next one here? It says, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. What fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteous? What communion hath light with darkness? So we'll put light here, darkness there, and communion in the middle. Now, what does communion mean there? It means social communication. First of all, you just start, well, we'll go and we'll just interact with them and we'll hang around them. But next thing you know, you're sitting down and you're communicating. What does that mean? You're exchanging ideas. Okay? Now notice this. I mean exchanging ideas. Say, preacher, what is this thing of witnessing then? The Bible says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. You know what? I will preach the gospel to a lost person, but I will not debate with a lost person. I won't debate with them. Okay? You know why? I'm not interested in saying, well, let me tell you what I believe, then you tell me what you believe. And I'll listen to you if you'll listen to me. Some of you have done this. Come on now, young people. You know of somebody that goes to a church that really doesn't preach the Word of God, or even, God forbid, a cult. And you said to your friend, I'll tell you what, why don't you come with me to church one Sunday and I'll go to church with you the next Sunday. Don't do that. See, already you're finding some compromise. Well, I'm doing that so I can get them to come to church. Well, again, you're not going to win through compromise. Now, the question is light and darkness. Now, think about this, folks. The definition, light. The definition, darkness. Okay? Here's the question. What communion do they have? Okay, what do they share in common? Here's the answer. Nothing! Okay, this is what I'm trying to get. I'm trying to get a bunch of you that run over here and spend part of the week, and run over here and spend part of the week, and then half the day you're on here, and then you're over here, and then you spend over here texting with darkness, and then you run over and try to be part of the light. And you know what? You're never going to amount to anything for the Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore come out from among you, be ye separate. Listen, this is where, let me just make this plain. This is where Pastor Jerry Ross stands. Amen. I don't apologize for standing here. I don't let them call me every name they want to call me. You know what? I want to stand for righteousness. I want to stand in the light. That's who I'm. Listen, this is where God is. Yep. This is what God is. Yes, and so why should I compromise with the world? Some of you are losing your kids, and I'm going to tell you why you're going to lose them. Because you think bringing them an hour or two a week into the light and then involving them in everything out there in the world that has to do with darkness is going to work. It's not going to work. And I know for some of you this is brand new stuff. But you need to think it over. People say, oh, preacher, I'm sorry we couldn't go to church last night. We had Junior's this and Sally's this and Billy's this. And, well, wait a minute. What are you teaching them? Preacher, we'd come to Wednesday night church, but you know, we got this club and this activity and this sports event. Wow. So what you just taught your kid is that basketball is more important than church. Girl Scouts is more important than Sunday school. Come on. Well, what's wrong with Girl Scouts? You're preaching against Girl Scouts? Is that, by the way, you better check on some things. Is that leader a born-again, separated Christian? Is those girls that she's hanging around going out to overnight with, are they born-again, separated young ladies? Okay? You better watch it. See, we've been fed this lie. Watch this. If you'll listen to me, the light's going to come on. Because some of you have been so fed the company line that's out there. Oh, if you want to keep kids out of trouble, you got to keep them busy. Just get them involved in everything. You got them running and running and running. And you know what? You're going crazy. You don't even enjoy your life. Because on Monday, you got to run the kids. Here on Tuesday, I got an idea. Here's something, a unique institution, maybe you haven't heard of it. It's called HOME. Okay? God expect the home to train the parents, the home to raise the parents. Stop farming them out to everything. Stop running them to everything. But they wanna. Since when did they run your house? Okay, I wanted to build a rocket and fly to the moon when I was a little kid. My dad said it probably wasn't a good idea. Okay, he kind of discouraged the idea. What I'm saying is, if we just got this mentality that, that's what you do. You join them in here, and 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 they're hanging around lost kids, and ungodly leadership sometimes that sit there and take the name of the Lord in vain, leadership that never darkened the door of a church, leadership that never leads the group in a word of prayer, leadership that does everything to laugh and mock when you're not there about the things of God, and a lot of times tear down the faith of our young people, and then when they go to the devil later on, I brought them to church. Well, yeah, we had 1 hour versus 40. We're not going to win that. And so as a Christian, what God's teaching us in this portion of Scripture is come out from among them and be separate. The next question is this. I've got to hurry along here. Let me get him up on the board. Brother Roger's getting tired of standing. And Christ over here. Belial over here. Christ over here, Belial over here. It'd help if I got my Bible back. Amen. Woo! My memorization was running to an end there, all right. Eighth grade was a long time ago, okay? For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion hath light with dark? What concord hath Christ with Belial? Now, the word concord there means accordance or compromise. Compromising to be kind. So first you just socially interact with people, then you begin to exchange ideas, and then you start compromising. Well, I believe this. Well, I understand what you believe, but don't you think in this instance? Well, I guess maybe in this instance, and you start compromising because we as Christians are supposed to be kind. Well, folks, listen to me. The reason you're having to compromise is you're fellowshipping where you shouldn't fellowship with. You're communicating with those who you haven't communicated with. You've grown a relationship with that person. You don't want them not to like you. And so you start compromising your belief. Then we have the next question after that. We have, believe. And what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? So we have a believer and an infidel. And then I'll go ahead and have you put the last one up. And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? Let's get them all up here and let's go through this. Folks, it's very, very important that we understand that if we are going to live holy lives, what does holy mean? It means to come apart. It means to become separate. It means the sanctification process. Listen, when we were lost, this is what we were. This is what we were. Salvation is an interior thing, and God saves us. But Christian growth is the process of leaving what we were involved with and going towards God and being separated and being holy before a holy God. And so we have unrighteousness, fellowshipping with righteousness, fellowshipping with unrighteous, and they can't get victory in their Christian life. You know what holiness does? It breaks the unequal yokes. And so we have fellowship, voluntary interaction, communion, social communication, concord, accordance or compromise. We begin to compromise to be kind. The word part there means to find common ground. Thank you very much. That's all I needed. And then the word agreement means a formal contract where you enter into a yoke. You enter into a yoke. Now, preacher, how do I live a holy life? What you have to understand is that you compromise. There was a process by which you compromised. Compromise was a progression. Well, holiness is also a progression. Let me ask you this. Have you entered into a formal agreement with anybody that is described by those things over there? Anything that is described by those things over there? You need to break that yoke. You need to break that yoke. You see, we need to, first of all, listen, break the yoke, break the agreement. You know what? Stop trying to find common ground. Denounce all common ground. Repent of all compromise with evil. Stop all social communication and refuse voluntary social interaction. It's a direct opposite of what we did to get us there is what brings us back to where we need to get to. Now, folks, listen to me. For some of you, this is brand new, but I want you to open your hearts to it, okay? If I'm not preaching the Word of God, come afterwards and point what I'm missing in this portion of Scripture. But God has a right as a holy God to say, I didn't just save you, so once you're a child of God, you can stand and stay over here and be involved in all of the things that reflect darkness and the devil and the things of this world. I saved you so that you could begin a process of growth in grace where, you know what, as righteous people, you fellowship with righteous people. As light, you commune with the light. As followers of Christ, you have concord or agreement only with Christ. As a believer, you take part with other believers. And as somebody who is now the temple of God, and we're going to go there next. Now the temple of God, you are in agreement with the God of the temple. With the God of the temple. So how does a person live a holy life? We must break unequal yokes. Now listen to me. I cannot help your kids. Don't come to my office. You know, it all seems harmless when they're 9. But when they're 17 and they're messed up, don't come to my office crying and say, preacher, you never told me that I shouldn't have been involved. I'm telling you. We have our young people farmed out in too many situations where they're being influenced away from God, not towards God. And so you as parents, you're the one that has been given by God custodial care. You're the ones that will stand before God one day and answer for who and what you let your children be involved with. And by the way, I'll tell you this. It's a wonderful thing when a young person, whether or not their parents, you know what? We've got young people right here whose parents aren't in church. And you know what? They don't understand this. And you know what? They're not going to keep them from doing it. Isn't it a great thing when we have teenagers come on the bus and get saved and they come home and say, Mom, Dad, I don't feel like I can anymore be a part of this. So I want to quit that and become a part of this. And unsaved parents at first will shake their head and scratch their head and all of this stuff. And I don't know, maybe they've gone crazy. Yep, they got religion. They went nuts on Jesus. They've gone off the deep end and all of this stuff. But let me tell you something. No, none of that's happened. What happened is they're a new creature in Jesus Christ and their appetites are now different. Now to be holy, we must open our hearts. To be holy, we must be willing to confront the Scripture and take an honest look at it. To be holy, we must be willing to break unequal ties. Yokes. Number 3, to be holy, we must see ourselves as temples. Now notice what is at the end of these questions, verse number 16. And what agreement hath the temple of God? Say, preacher, who's the temple of God? What's the temple of God? We're going to find out. Say, preacher, is it this building? Is this the temple of God? We're going to find out. What agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For, what's it say? Ye are the temple of the living God. Now, what's that mean? Preacher, I'm a temple? Isn't a temple like a building? Yeah, it is. You know what I mean? You know, you're talking about a building that houses somebody. Yeah, yeah. Okay, stay with me here. Stay with me. Ye, listen, to be holy, we must see ourselves as temples. Now, let me have you go over to 1 Corinthians. We're not that far from it. Save your place in 2 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. Stay with me here, all right? In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, if you will, look at verse number 16. 1 Corinthians 3:16. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God? There it is again, preacher. The Bible's talking about us that are saved as being temples of God. Yeah, and that the, what? Spirit of God dwelleth in you. If I said to you, hey, this Sunday, let's go to the house of God, you would probably think and understand that that's sometimes what Christians say when they're inviting you to church. But the honest truth is, this building is not the house of God. You and me as Christians are the house of God. What's that mean? We are the dwelling place of God. When you get saved, the Holy Spirit of God enters into you. You have to start looking at your body as the temple of God. I'm not done yet. I'm gonna get this point across. If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is what? Holy. Which temple ye are? So everybody that got saved, every one of you young people that got saved, you walked the aisle or in children's church, you got saved, and they feel like, every one of you that got saved, you know what? You are the temple of God. You're the house of God. Why? Because when you got saved, the Holy Spirit came and indwelt you. Now, this is an amazing thought. Let it sink in. As a Christian, when we get saved, God sends His Spirit, a part of the triune God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. He sends a portion of His Spirit, who His Spirit is, and He takes up residence inside of you. Say, preacher, is that in the Bible? Go over to chapter number 6, if you will, of 1 Corinthians. Chapter number 6, 1 Corinthians, chapter 6, not 2nd, 1st. Notice what it says here from verse number 9 on. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetousness, nor drunkard, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of ye. That's before you were saved. What happened? But ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. All things are lawful unto me. In other words, God still gives you a free choice. You can still do it. He says, all things are lawful unto me, but are not expedient. All things are lawful unto me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. And then it goes on to say, meats for the belly and belly for the meats, for God shall destroy both it and them. Now, the body is not for fornication. We're talking about the temple of God. We're talking about the body of a Christian. It's not for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And God hath both raised up the Lord and will also raise us by His own power. Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ? This is what I want to, well, I wish I could get you young people to get this. I know this, you're going to have to concentrate. I get this. These are big words, big concepts, but I'm going to try to make it simple for you. God is saying, shall I take the members of Christ? He just said your body is part of the members of Christ. Shall you take the members of Christ and make them members of an harlot? God forbid. What, know you not that he which is joined to an harlot is one body? For two, saith he, shall be one flesh, but he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. Here it is, 19 and 20. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which is God. Now watch this. The process of learning how to be holy. What does it mean to be holy? Well, I'll tell you what it means. Holiness will never mean, I don't think you'll be motivated to be holy until you realize this truth. When you got saved, young lady, when you got saved, young man, your body became the dwelling place of God, the house of God, the temple of God. You may just look and see Jerry Ross, but I'm going to tell you, you're looking at a temple of the Lord. My body is the temple of the Lord. It is the house that God dwells in. So He dwells inside of your body. Therefore, the challenge is for us to be holy. He says the temple should be holy. Now, let me help you with some specifics. Young lady, when you become a Christian, the Holy Spirit comes to indwell you. Your body becomes a temple of the most righteous and holy God. So there's two things that from that now on, you ought to be careful of when it comes to your body. You ought to be careful about what you put in your body, and you ought to be careful about what you put on your body. You know why? Because your body is sacred. It's holy. It's become the dwelling place of God. If somebody was sitting in the auditorium this morning, watch this. And say, Brother Joe, he's a likely candidate, and he's sitting right there by Mrs. Fulkerson. All of a sudden, Brother Joe kind of looks at the watch. He's getting a little nervous. It's been a while since he got his nicotine. And so he reaches in his pocket, pulls out a pack of Marlboros, sticks it in his mouth, and lights it and blows smoke up at the ceiling. I mean, even visitors here would look over and go, oh, what is he doing in church? You shouldn't smoke in church. As if this building is a holy building. Let me say something. In a sense, this property, we talked about that last Sunday night, this is a holy place. This is holy ground. I believe that. But listen to me. This is not the temple of God. This is not the house of God. If we don't get this in our minds, we're never going to be conscious. Oh, I wouldn't do that in church. Well, I wouldn't wear that to church. Well, I wouldn't say that in church. Wait a minute. You are the church. You are the church. Some people got in their mind, well, you know what, I wouldn't do this in church, but as a born-again Christian, I'd walk out here, get in the car, get a mile down the road, and light up. Listen, you just are inhaled smoke into the temple of God. I'm not mad at anybody here. My mom and dad first got saved, you know what? Can I say this? Is that all right, Ma? You know, they were 26 years of age. They got brand new saved. Back in the 1960s, almost everybody smoked. A lot of people smoked. You know what? They went to church for a while. Some preacher, God bless him, was kind enough to preach the truth. They got under conviction. And by the way, of all the crazy things to try to quit, I don't know. Thank God I never had to deal with it. But nicotine is one of the most addictive drugs in the world. Now, I understand the process that some Christians go through. It's a struggle. But I'm going to tell you something. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. We have had altar call here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church on Sunday nights, Sunday mornings, revival meetings. And after the altar call's done and the people are leaving, look down and see a pack of cigarettes laying right here on an altar where some Christian is struggling with the sin, just came forward and laid the pack out and said, Lord, I'm going to give this to you and I'm going to ask you to give me victory over this. Now, say, preacher, what's my motivation? Your body is the temple of God. Well, show me a verse. Where does it say you can't have a beer every once in a while? Your body is the temple of God. If I walked in here with a beer and came to the middle of this church and poured it onto the carpet of this church, I'd probably get fired. The church would have a special meeting tonight. I'd be out of here. You know why? Because you think this building's holy. But your body is the temple of God. Young men, boy, if you come in Green Sullivan, Clay County, you know, you're a young man and you hit about 11 or 12, you got to prove your manhood by finding a little can of Skull somewhere and sticking some Skull in your mouth like a fool. You're not sticking Skull in your mouth, you're sticking Skull in the temple of the Holy Spirit of God. Are you listening to me? Well, I don't care. I'm going to go to the school dance. I don't care what that. You're not. You're out there gyrating the temple of God. Okay? You're out there floundering around like a fool. Well, you girls, come on. I said we were going to just get down to some stuff. Amen. This pretend holiness isn't cutting it. This, well, when I come to church, I'll appear this way, but everywhere else, I'm... No, that's not cutting it. Hey, you know what? Stop running back and forth. God says, come out from among them and be a separate, saith the Lord. I'm not going to have fellowship with unrighteous. I'm not going to have communion with darkness. I'm not going to have I don't have anything in common with the devil. If it's of the devil, I don't want anything to do with it. I'm not going to have part with an infidel. I'm not going to enter into agreement with idols. I'm going to fellowship with righteousness. I'm going to have communion with light. I'm going to have concord and agreement with Christ. I'm going to have part with the believers. And I'm going to have an agreement with the God of my temple. That's who I'm going to enter in agreements with. What's this called? It's called a holy life. It's a holy life. All these churches that preach against this and preach against that and preach against this. Well, they ought to, because there's a lot to preach against nowadays. Young ladies, you know what? When you get up tomorrow and get ready to go to school and you put on something, come on. I'm just going to talk to you like I'm your daddy or your grandpa for a minute. But you put on something and you've got half your chest showing or you've got some little mini skirt on and you're going to tell me that you don't know that that's wrong. How you clothe the temple of God is important. How you care for the temple of God is important. Some of your junior hires that, you know, will fight tooth and nail and see how many days you can go before you can take a bath. You know, really, even personal hygiene is a matter for the Christian of taking care of something very sacred. So please, more than once a week, brush your teeth. You know what? Brush the teeth of the temple of God. Amen. All right. Some of you boys need to learn about this amazing new invention called deodorant. It's an amazing thing. Fantastic thing. It does you good, but more than anything else, it does a lot of other people good. Amen. Well, what's this all? Listen to me, folks. Remember the old saying, cleanliness is next to? You know why? Because it is. You know why? Because it's a temple of God. What I'm saying is your care of your body and what you let your body do or don't do or be involved with, that is holiness. And when you realize that your body is the temple of God. Hey, before you were saved, God didn't live inside of you. It was no big deal to do unrighteousness. No big deal to hang around darkness. You weren't a child of God. God didn't live inside of you. But the day that you fell under Holy Spirit conviction, and the day that you rise, you were lost on your way to hell. And the day that, you know what, you felt the drawing of the Father. You know what? When you get saved, you turn from these things onto these things. That's what salvation is. Now, I want to help all of you. Look right up here. If you say, well, preacher, I prayed once and I prayed and got saved once. If that day when you prayed that, you had no intention of doing away with unrighteousness or darkness or Satan or changing your belief system or who and what you worship, then that wasn't salvation. Yes, sir. Salvation is turning from these things to Christ. I didn't say you go from here to here a zillion miles an hour. I'm saying you started on a journey and you said, you know what? I'm going to perfect holiness in the fear of God. I'm going to cleanse myself from the filthiness of the flesh and of the spirit. I'm going to begin a journey towards holiness. I'm turning my back on the world behind me, the cross before me, the world behind me, the cross before, no turning back. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. That's what the journey is. The journey is this way. Now, I'm not preaching this to make anybody feel bad. I'm encouraging you, join us on the journey. Nobody's arrived. We're all heading that direction. We're all working that way. By God's grace, we want to stay tender. And you know what? When God reveals another part of our life that is unrighteous or reflects darkness or is touched by the devil or is what an infidel would do or is involved with idols, you know what? We want to do away with that. We're growing towards God. We're going towards God. Now, we have, sadly, in this day and age, churches, people who say they're Christians. And went there and sat there, you know, I preached against booze this morning, and there'll be Christians tell you, oh, there's nothing wrong with that. You know why? They don't understand holiness. Oh, it's no big deal about this, that, and the other. It doesn't matter what you see. It doesn't matter what you watch. These crazy preachers preach against rock music and Hollywood. Good night, folks. Hollywood. You talk about unrighteousness. You talk about darkness. You talk about the devil. You talk about infidel philosophies. You talk about pointing men to worship everything but God. Come on now. And yet the voices of preachers have gotten quiet because the culture doesn't want to hear it anymore. And Christians don't want to hear it anymore. But you know what? As a saved person, moms, dads, I'm telling you. I'm going to tell you because God's told me to tell you this. And then you know what? You're going to go home and do whatever you're going to do. But you're going to stand before Him one of these days on what you let your children be involved with. And what you allowed in your home. Yes, sir. Well, it's their room. Have you checked the mortgage? Yeah. Are they making the payment? There ain't no such thing as their room. There's no such thing as their room. Unless they've moved out and paying the rent and the mortgage. They have no room. They have the room you allow them to have. For as short amount of time as possible. And you send them on their way so you can get back to a sane life. Amen. Are you listening to me? Come on. Well, you mean, I can't take that from her. She'd throw a fit. Well, it didn't be the first time she'd throw a fit. Probably not the last time she'll throw a fit. So what? Come on, moms, dads. Stand up. Be holy. Be holy. Okay? Me and my wife will answer to God one of these days what was allowed in our house while our girls were being raised and what's there now. Okay? We're going to answer for that. Are you getting this? You letting this sink in good and strong? What I'm saying is this, folks. What is holiness? Holiness is a progression. Holiness happens when we begin to break the unequal yokes. You know what? Your lost friends aren't going to understand, are they, Mom? When you say to them for the first time, friends that you went over every week of your life and played cards with, when you say to them, we can't do that anymore, they're not going to understand. They're going to think you lost your mind. But I'm telling you what, it's the right thing to do. The group that you're always going out, and by the way, when you go out with them, you know when you come home as a Christian, you feel dirty. People will tell me, man, I'm so glad to come to church. I just leave here and I feel clean. I feel helped. And then you go right back out in the world and feel filthy. You see, church isn't, listen, this stuff right here is not something that waits for you in this building for you to come visit once a week. This stuff ought to be a lifestyle. It ought to be what you are and what you've become and what you take with you everywhere you go throughout every day of your life. Come next week for part 3. Of what does it mean to be holy. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'd help us, Lord. We've used the time that's been allotted this morning. We've preached what we feel like we need to have said, and we've stopped now that your Holy Spirit said stop. But I would pray, dear God, that we would have a reckoning. The things I used to do, I don't do them anymore. There's been a great change since I've been born again. The place that I used to go, I don't go there anymore. There's been a great change since I've been born. The things I used to say, I can't say them anymore. There's been a great change since I've been born again. I pray, Lord, that you'd help us to begin to look at things honestly. Everything in our lives, everything in our home. I pray, God, that as people that are sitting here this week, as they're listening to a song, I pray that they're thinking this: righteousness or unrighteousness, light or darkness, Christ or Belial, believer or infidel, idols or the temple of God. I pray, Lord, as we're planning our activities, we'd stop and think: light or darkness, light or dark, Christ or Belial, righteousness or unrighteousness. I pray, God, that we'd begin to listen to your Holy Spirit as he convicts us during the week. You have given us of your Spirit to help sanctify us, to separate us from the things of this world into the things of God. May we listen to his voice. May we not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Lord, may every Christian, as we go through this week, be sensitive to everything that we're involved with, everything we say, everything we do, everything we have a part of. I pray the Spirit of God would convict each of us, God. May we have those encounters on Monday and Tuesday with your Spirit. May we not quench him. May we listen to him as he is trying to help us become holy as God is holy. I pray, dear God, for that one or two or three people in this room, maybe more, that while the preacher preached this morning, realized, I've never truly been born again. I am of darkness. I haven't received Christ. I'm a sinner. And I've never, ever repented of my sins. I've never turned from the world to Christ. I've never, by faith, accepted Jesus as my Savior. I've never become a child of God. I pray that they would be saved today. Lord, take the message and use it, please, in each of our lives, we pray.